arbitrary will. Then that is the thought of those who are unbelievers. The Sheikh said, so whoever thinks that Allah will cause falsehood to permanently take over the truth, then he has thought this evil thought. Because it may be the case that sometimes Allah will temporarily cause falsehood to gain the upper hand over truth. But this is just something temporary. It is not something permanent. And the reason that he gives the upper hand to falsehood over the truth sometimes, temporarily, is for a wise purpose. And that wise purpose is so that the people of the truth should become alert and should correct themselves from any errors and any deficiencies which have come about in them. وَلْيُمَحِّصُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلْيُمَحِّصُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا The ayah, so that Allah should purify those who believe. And the Shaykh said, meaning, so that Allah should purify them from the filth of sins and disobedience by means of punishment which He sends upon them. Just as Allah, the Perfect and Most High, said, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ Whoever commits evil will be recompensed for it. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 123. Whoever commits evil, then he will get punishment for it. The Shaykh said, and this greatly worried Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when this ayah came down. And he said, which of us does not commit evil, O Messenger of Allah? So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is quoted as saying, do you not suffer grief? Do you not suffer tiredness? Do you not suffer so and so? He quoted a number of things. So he replied, yes. He said, then that will be your recompense. And that will be your punishment. And with regard to this report, then it's reported by At-Tabari in his tafsir with a chain of narration that Sheikh Muqbil said, rahimahullah, is disconnected. In his verification of Ibn Kathir, this ayah from Surah An-Nisa, fourth surah, ayah 123. And likewise, Sheikh Al-Albani, in his checking of Sharh Al-Tahawiyya, number 390, he said about this report with regard to Abu Bakr radiallahu an, its chain of narration is weak, but its meaning is correct. Then Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned an authentic hadith about the sending down of this ayah with the same meaning. He brought the hadith, and the hadith reported by Muslim, from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu an, that when this ayah came down, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ Whoever does evil will be punished for it, or will be recompensed for it. He said, then it caused a severe effect upon the Muslims. So therefore Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, be moderate and strive to be upon what is correct. So in everything which befalls the Muslim, there will be an expiation. Even a slip of his foot or a thorn which pricks him. Reported by Muslim. Then back to what Sheikh Al-Fawzan brings, he says, so Allah, the Majestic and Most High, He may give some recompense or even some punishment to His believing servant whom He loves, and He may punish His servant because He loves him in order to purify that servant from sins, so that the servant goes on to meet his Lord pure and clean and entering paradise. But as for the unbeliever, and the enemy of Allah. Then Allah continues to shower his favors upon him and to give him further and further room to transgress. And Allah withholds punishment from him until on the day of resurrection he comes carrying all of his sins and will be from the people of the hellfire. So this is the wisdom of Allah the Perfect and Most High. Then the Shaykh said, so some of the people say, why is it that the unbelievers are favoured with all these blessings that they have, and modern refinements, and items which they manufacture, and the fine weather they enjoy, and the fine society they've got, and the fruits and the trees and the crops, whereas the Muslims are in the state they're in? Why is this? Then the person's evil thoughts lead him on to start thinking that the unbelievers, because of all this, are actually upon the truth, and that Allah is pleased with them, and that the Muslims are not upon the truth, and that Allah is angry with them. Then he may apostatize from the religion altogether, this person who has these thoughts. So Allah the Majestic and Most High, he gives the things of this world, the dunya, to those he loves and those he does not love. But as for the religion, the deen, then Allah does not give it except to one whom he loves. And sending down his favours or sending down his punishments is not an evidence of his loving anyone, or that he hates them or has aversion to them. Rather, these things are just a test and a trial. So Allah may punish someone whom he loves, and he may shower favours upon someone he hates, in this world, that is. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 178. With the explanation, let not those who disbelieve think that our delaying punishment for them is something that is good for them. Rather, we delay their punishment for them so that they can increase in sin. And then there will be a humiliating punishment for them. Sheikh said, so the believer must always keep this point in his mind. But this is something that will not be comprehended except by people who have understanding of the religion, people of knowledge, people of insight, and people with correct outlook. And then the Sheikh Rahimahullah said, so let the person of sound intellect who sincerely wishes good for himself, let him carefully consider this. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, so he should consider this point carefully. And it is the matter of Allah's actions, those things which Allah the Most High does with regard to his servants. And he should realize and know that Allah does not do anything in that regard except for a wise purpose and except in accordance with what he has predecreed and ordained. So nothing happens in this creation except for a wise purpose and in accordance with what Allah has ordained and decreed. And also, Allah never made any promise except that he will certainly fulfill it. And also, each person should consider himself how he reacts with regard to events that occur. What does he say when something which he dislikes happens? Whether it happens to himself or someone else, what does he say? Therefore, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said, and most of the people, they have evil thoughts about Allah with regard to those affairs particular to them or with regard to what happens to the rest of the people. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so this is to be found in the descendants of Adam. In some of them, that if you were to examine, no matter who you examine, you will find them raising objections to that which Allah has decreed and blaming it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, just as happened with Iblis, and the result that was produced by the haughtiness of Iblis, and the objections he raised against Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And consider the case of Iblis, and what led him to what he ended up with, what led him to that. Objection against things Allah had decreed. Then the Shaykh said, and likewise with regard to anyone who resembles him, those who raise objections against Allah with regard to the actions that Allah, the Perfect and Most High, does, and how he acts within his sovereignty, he, the Majestic and Most High. Those who say that what ought to happen is such and such. Then Ibn al-Qayyim said, so examine yourself and see if you are free of this. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, so it's obligatory that each person never does tazkiyah of himself. He never praises and makes recommendation for himself, ever. Allah, the Majestic and Most High, said, وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, Surah An-Najm, the 53rd Surah, Ayah 32. With the explanation, do not ascribe piety to yourselves. And his saying, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا, Surah An-Nisa, the 4th Surah, Ayah 49. With the explanation, will you not look at those who declare themselves good and pure? Rather, it is Allah who purifies whomever he wishes, and they will never be oppressed, even by the amount of the thread to be found clinging to a date stone. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, so a person should not do tazkiyah of himself. He should not praise and recommend himself. He should not praise himself and not become satisfied and amazed with himself, and think that he is perfect, and that he is from the chosen ones. Rather, the person should always accuse himself of falling short with regard to the rights of Allah the Most High. And as for tazkiyah, purification, which has been praised by Allah the Most High for its people, for those who purify themselves, do tazkiyah of themselves, mean purification. In his saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, Surah Al-Shams, the 91st Surah, Ayah 9. That those who purify their souls are successful. Then what is meant here by purifying the souls? Means those who purify themselves by doing righteous and correct actions and leaving off evil actions. This is purification of the souls. And by occupying yourself with correct and righteous actions and causing yourself to abstain from evil actions. So therefore, there is a tazkiyah, a purification, or a declaration of purification, which is forbidden, which is to become amazed with yourself and to start praising yourself. And there is a tazkiyah, a purification, which is commanded, which means to be upon goodness and repentance and righteous and correct actions, as occurs in the ayah from Surah Al-Shams, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, those who purify their souls are the successful ones. And Allah has even threatened those who do not purify themselves. But he said, he the Most High, وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ, Surah Fussilat, Ayah 41, or rather Surah 41, Ayah 6-7. With the explanation, and woe to the mushriks, those who do not give the zakat. Or in another explanation, those who do not purify themselves. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, because some of the people of Tafsir say about the zakat here, that what it means is tazkiyatun nafs, purifying their souls. Because this ayah was sent down in Mecca, and the obligatory zakat of wealth was not sent down until Medina. So in other words, they hold that this ayah means not zakat of the wealth, but zakat, purification of the souls. And also, likewise, with regard to the saying of Allah the Most High, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 23rd Surah, Ayah 4, with the explanation, and those who do the zakat. He said, because what is meant by zakat in this ayah is zakat of the soul, purifying the soul. Because again, this ayah was sent down in Mecca. So, purifying the souls through righteous and correct actions is desirable and commanded. Then he said, as for the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim, so examine yourself. Are you free of this? Sheikh al-Fawzan said, so therefore, do not become preoccupied with the shortcomings of the rest of the people and forget yourself. Rather, examine yourself. Are you free from raising any objections to Allah's decrees and free from blaming what Allah has ordained and free of contradicting Allah, the Perfect and Most High, with regard to events that occur? His saying, فَإِن تَنْجُوا مِنْهَا, if you are saved from that, meaning from this affliction, then you have been saved from something tremendous. And if not, then I don't think you will be saved at all. Sheikh al-Fawzan ends this chapter by saying, so this is a chapter which is in reality a very great chapter and a tremendous chapter. And whoever wishes increase in this speech, which is very good, then let him refer back to the original book, Zadul Ma'ad, where the author speaks about the Battle of Uhud and what happened with regard to the trials upon the Muslims there and what the hypocrites said in this battle. Then Sheikh al-Fawzan said, the points of benefit that can be taken from these two ayahs and their explanation. And he brings 6 points of benefit. Firstly, that husnul dhan, having good thoughts with regard to Allah the Mighty and Majestic, is an obligation from the obligations of Tawheed. Secondly, that having the opposite, having evil thoughts with regard to Allah the Perfect and Most High, negates Tawheed or negates its perfection. It will negate the very basis of Tawheed altogether. If these evil thoughts increase to such an extent and become so great and become something continual for the person, or these evil thoughts will negate the completion of Tawheed, if it is just something that appears for the person and is something just slight, I mean it just appears and passes away and is just something slight, or is just a suggestion in his mind alone and he does not speak with it upon his tongue. But if he speaks with these evil thoughts, then he will be negating Tawheed. The third issue is that these ayahs contain an affirmation of Allah's ordainment and pre-decree, Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, and that whatever disasters and desirable things and whatever things that people dislike and whatever enjoyments, things that they enjoy happen, all of this occurs by the ordainment and decree of Allah. The fourth matter, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has no share of control over events, so we do not seek attachment to him for that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, attachment is sought. We seek to attach our hearts to Allah, because all of the affairs are for Allah, the Majestic and Most High, not for the Messenger, nor for anyone else besides him. Command is not for the Messenger, nor for anyone else besides him, just as Allah, the Majestic and Most High, said, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 128, with the explanation, not for you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the decision whether Allah accepts their repentance, or whether Allah guides them to repent and accepts their repentance, or whether he punishes them, because they were wrongdoers. Sheikh said, so here in this ayah, it came down with regard to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made supplication against some of the people of Mecca. So Allah rebuked him for that with this ayah. ليس لك من الأمر شيء أو يتوب عليهم أو يعذبهم. Not for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the decision. It's not for you at all whether Allah guides them to repent or punishes them. Sheikh said, and Allah did guide them to repent. So they did, and they accepted Islam. And they made their Islam good, and they became leaders of the jihad in Islam. So this shows that all the affairs are solely for Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So we do not seek attachment in that regard, except to Allah. In regard to the affairs and command of the affairs and control of the affairs, then Allah is the one alone in control of that. As for the messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, then he was the messenger of Allah. He was just the one who conveyed the message from Allah, the Perfect and Most High. This was the duty of the messengers, alayhi salatu wassalam. The fifth issue is that this contains affirmation of Allah's wisdom, hikmah, in all of his actions, all of the actions of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and that Allah does not do anything whatsoever, abathan, without a wise purpose. And the sixth and last issue is that the promise of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, is something which must certainly occur and be fulfilled. The promise of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, is never broken. And Allah has certainly promised that this religion will conquer and be manifest over all religions. So what is the situation that we see? Is it not the case that this religion has been manifested in the East and the West? Has this religion not reached as far as the night and the day reach? Has this religion not indeed entered all the countries of the earth, all the major countries of the earth? And have their peoples not entered into it? The Persians and the Romans and the lands of the East and the West. And is there a single place remaining upon this earth, a single land, where this religion has not reached? This is the promise of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Allah will cause this religion to be manifest over all religions, even though the people of Shirk hate it. And then just very quickly as an indication that it's there, at the end of the chapter that Sheikh al-Fawzan brings, then in Fath al-Majid, there's something which I'm not going to read the whole of it, to just indicate that it's there because of its importance. The explainer in Fath al-Majid, he brings a list of things that are examples of evil thoughts about Allah, evil thoughts with regard to Allah. And amongst those things, he mentions the idea that what Allah himself has informed about himself in his book with regard to his attributes, that thinking that these attributes that Allah has described himself with, thinking that what is apparent from his words in that regard is something false, and is tashbih, resemblance with the creation, and that the truth is in actually something else that the people have spoken, I mean those people of ta'wil, those who twist his attributes and misinterpret his attributes, thinking that the truth is not in the words of Allah and what's apparent from them, but the truth lies in the speech of others besides him, then this, and he goes into great length, this is indeed an evil thought with regard to Allah. And likewise, those who twist Allah's attributes and explain them away and so on, and claim that Allah does not hear and does not see and does not know, and that Allah is not upon his throne above the seven heavens, and so on, that all of these are extremely evil thoughts with regard to Allah. And he gives a list of evil thoughts. Whoever thinks so and so, he gives that Allah has a son or a partner. Whoever thinks so and so, then these are all evil thoughts with regard to Allah. So whoever wishes can refer back to that in Fath al-Majid. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? آية 123 من سورة النساء. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. أينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with Kitab al-Tawheed, then we reach chapter 59. Babu ma jaa fi munkir al-qadr. Chapter, what is reported concerning those who deny al-qadr, pre-decree. And what I intend to try and do today is just to read the first hadith in the section, or the first narration in the section, with the explanation of Shaykh Al-Fawzan, inshaAllah. Then leave the rest of the chapter, which is quite long, until next time, inshaAllah. So the author, rahimahullah, said, وقال ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما والذي نفس ابن عمر بيده لو كان لأحدهم مثل أحد ذهبا ثم أنفقه في سبيل الله ما قبله الله منه حتى يؤمن بالقدر. ثم استدل بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. رواه مسلم. And Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما said, by the one in whose hand is the soul of Ibn Umar, if one of them were to spend in charity in Allah's cause with an amount of gold like Mount Uhud, Allah would not accept it from him until he believed in Al-Qadr, pre-decree. Then he used as evidence for this the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, the author is saying that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma used as evidence for this the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Imanu, true faith is that you truly believe in Allah and in His angels and in His books and in His messengers and in the last day, and that you truly believe in Al-Qadr, pre-decree, the good of it and the bad of it, reported by Muslim. And you'll find it in Muslim near the start in the Book of Iman. Then just briefly, with regard to Fathul Majid, the explanation of Fathul Majid, then he starts this chapter off by saying, with regard to the heading, chapter, what is reported with regard to those who deny Al-Qadr, pre-decree. He said, meaning with regard to the severe threat and the like. And then he quotes two hadith with regard to those people. With regard to those people who deny pre-decree, he quotes two hadith. The first of them is Hassan, good, and the second is weak. So we'll mention the first one for benefit and the second one so that we're aware of it. So the first hadith that he quotes with regard to those people who deny pre-decree, he said, and Abu Dawood reports from Abdulaziz ibn Abi Hazim, from his father, from Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he said, Al-Qadariyatu majusu hadhihi al-ummah, in maridu fala ta'uduhum, wa in matu fala tashhaduhum. Hadith reported by Abu Dawood as hadith number 6000, or rather it's number 4691, from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the Qadariyya, those who deny pre-decree, are the Majus, they are the Magians of this Ummah. If they fall sick, then do not pay sick visit to them. And if they die, then do not witness their funerals. This hadith is Hassan, declared Hassan by Shaykh al-Albani in his verification of a sunnah of Ibn Abi Asim. And in his notes on At-Tahawiyya and in As-Sahihah, hadith number 2748. He declares it Hassan, good due to its supports. So it's authentic that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the Qadariyya, the deniers of pre-decree, as being the Magians of this Ummah. Then with regard to the weak narration that he brings in Fathul Majid, he said, and from Umar, the Mawla of Ghufra, from a man from the Ansar, from Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhuma, who is reported to have said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, for every nation there are Magians, and the Magians of this nation are those who say there is no pre-decree. Whoever dies from them, then do not witness his funeral. And whoever falls sick from them, then do not pay him sick visit. And they are the party of Ad-Dajjal. And it is a right with Allah that he should join them with the Dajjal. Then Shaykh al-Albani, in his checking of a sunnah of Ibn Abi Asim, he points out this chain of narration is weak because the narrator from Hudhayfa is a man who is unnamed. And the narrator from him is Umar, the Mawla of Ghufra, who is weak in his narrations, and who contradicts himself in the different narrations that he narrates of the hadith. So the first hadith was good, Hassan, and the second one, weak, da'if. Then with regard to what Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, brings in this chapter, then he says, this chapter here was brought by the Shaykh, rahimahullah, to explain that Iman in Al-Qadr, pre-decree, is a part of Iman in the Lordship, the Rububiyyah of Allah. And whoever denies pre-decree, Al-Qadr, then he has committed shirk with regard to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Lordship. So Iman in Qadr is a part of Iman in Allah's Lordship. So a person who does not believe in pre-decree, Al-Qadr, then he does not have Iman in the Lordship of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Because he has denied the ability of Allah, and he has denied the knowledge of Allah, and he has denied the fact that everything that occurs in this creation occurs by the pre-decree and the will of Allah. And he has described Allah the Most High with ignorance and inability, along with other matters as well. So that's why the Shaykh al-Fawzan is explaining, that's why this chapter is brought here and put in Kitab al-Tawheed. Because one who denies pre-decree, then he has denied Tawheed of Allah's Lordship. Then he says, and al-Qadr, pre-decree. The word al-Qadr is a noun from the verb which is used to mean, when you say that qadartu shay aqduruhu, if someone said that they had done qadr of something, it means that they have planned the details of something, laid down the details of something and planned the details of something. Then he explains what the meaning of qadr is in the legislation. So he said, al-qadr, pre-decree, is that Allah, the Perfect and Most High, has fully and comprehensively encompassed all things and has full knowledge of them before their existence. And then that he wrote all of that down in Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz. He wrote all of that down in the preserved tablet. So everything that happens in this creation enters within the knowledge of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. His eternal knowledge. And it enters into what he wrote down in the preserved tablet. Then the Shaykh quotes two ayahs in this regard. The first of them, the saying of Allah the Most High, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th surah, ayah 22. With the explanation, no calamity whatsoever strikes in the earth nor in yourselves except that it is written in a book before we create it. The book being the preserved tablet, Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz. And the second ayah which he quotes is the saying of Allah the Most High, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. Surah At-Taghabun, the 64th surah, Ayah 11, with the explanation, no calamity whatsoever strikes except with the permission of Allah. And whoever truly believes in Allah, then Allah will guide his heart. The Shaykh said, so everything that occurs, occurs by the preordainment and the pre-decree of Allah, and occurs by His wish, His mashi'a, and His will, His irada. Nothing at all from the things can escape that. And it is also, meaning every single thing that happens, it is also written in the preserved tablet. And in the prophetic sunnah, there are a hadith reported in the authentic books and elsewhere in this regard, with regard to pre-decree. There are narrations. The author has quoted some of them in this chapter. Then he said, and there is ijma', there is consensus upon this, meaning upon belief in pre-decree, al-qadr. There is ijma', consensus upon it amongst the Muslims, except for those who are misguided and have deviated away from the methodology of the Salaf, of the pious predecessors, with regard to the deviant sects. And those people are disproven by the book, the Sunnah, and the consensus ijma of the ummah. He said, then he begins with the narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and he says, وَقَالَ ابْنُ عُمَرَ. Ibn Umar said, he said he was Ibn al-Khattab. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma. He's saying, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ ابْنِ عُمَرَ بِيَدِي. By the one, that Ibn Umar said, by the one in whose hand is the soul of Ibn Umar. He said this was an oath which Abdullah ibn Umar swore by Allah the Perfect and Most High. And he did so to emphasize this matter and to stress its seriousness. Then he said, لَوْ كَانَ لِأَحَدِهِمْ مِثْلُ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا ثُمَّ أَنْفَقَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا قَبِلَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ. If there were for one of these people an amount of gold like the mountain of Uhud, and then he were to spend it in charity in Allah's cause, Allah would not accept it from him until he had iman, he truly believed in al-qadr, pre-decree. The Shaykh said, the reason for this saying of Ibn Umar was, and then the Shaykh mentions the incident, and the incident is brought by Muslim when he brings the hadith. So the Shaykh said, the reason that Ibn Umar said this saying was that when there appeared some people towards the end of his life, radiallahu anh, some people denying al-Qadr, pre-decree, and he was asked a question about that, then he gave this reply. And this was because there appeared in the city of Basra, the city at the south of Iraq, near the coast of Iraq, or on the coast, because there appeared in Basra at the end of the time of the companions, after the time of the Khulafa al-Rashidun, and after the Khilafah of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anhum. After that time, towards the end of the life of Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas. As we know, Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Abbas, they were boys in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they lived a long time after his death, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, so towards the end of their lives, that of Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas and others of the companions, then there appeared in Basra a man who was called Ma'bad al-Juhani, who appeared denying pre-decree, al-Qadr. So what happened is that two of the Tabi'een, Yahya ibn Umar and Humayd ibn Abdurrahman al-Himyari, they were two of the Tabi'een, when this saying appeared in Basra, then these two men came to Hijaz. They came to the area of Mecca and Medina to perform Hajj or Umrah. And they said, we will ask the first man that we meet from the companions about this affair. So they came from the city of Basra, where this saying had newly appeared. Ma'bad al-Juhani had appeared, saying that there's no pre-decree. Allah does not pre-decree, preordain the affairs. And things just happen without Allah knowing beforehand. So they said, they went to perform Hajj or Umrah, and they said, we will ask the first of the companions whom we meet about this. The Shaykh said, so this is how the Muslims were and are to be in the earliest times and in the new times, that whenever they have a problem, something is a problem for them to understand, or something is a problem raised for them, then they refer back to their people of knowledge, their ulama, their scholars, and they ask them. And they don't act independently in the affairs. And nor do they just each have their own personal opinion. And nor do they just divide up into groups and parties, jama'at and ahzab.
each one upon its own saying. This is not the case with regard to what the Muslims should do. He said, so they came right from Basra to Makkah, Makkah al-Mukarramah. They came with the intention of asking a single question, despite the difficult journey and despite the great distance from Basra to Makkah, because this affair is something serious. So therefore it is obligatory to refer back to the people of knowledge about it. So the first person that they met was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. So Allah granted them the success of meeting this companion, this great scholar. The two of them met him whilst he was that being the kunya of Ibn Umar. Something has happened with us in Basra. A man has appeared saying such and such. So the response of Abdullah ibn Umar was that he swore an oath by Allah, لَوْ كَانَ لِأَحَدِهِمْ, if one of them had, meaning if one of those people who deny pre-decree had مِثْلُ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا, if he had an amount of gold like the mountain of Uhud. The Shaykh said, so this was the greatest extent and the greatest value. I was indicating that Mount Uhud, the mountain to the north of Medina, is a huge mountain. ثُمَّ أَنْفَقَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and then he were to spend that in charity, in Allah's cause. The Shaykh said, spending in charity, in jihad, fighting in Allah's cause, is one of the greatest means of charitable spending, producing the greatest reward. So this was a huge amount of money being spent in a tremendous cause, for which it would be hoped that the person who could do that would attain a great reward. However, if those people, I mean those who deny pre-decree, if they were to spend that amount in charity in this manner, this tremendous manner, whilst they disbelieved, or whilst they rejected pre-decree, al-Qadr, then Allah would not accept it from them, because they do not have true iman in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And Allah only accepts from the believers, the mu'mineen. And if they did not believe in pre-decree, they would not be believers, they would not be mu'mineen. And Allah only accepts from the believers. As Ibn Umar said, مَا قَبِلَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ, then Allah would not accept it from him until he believed in pre-decree. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so this shows that those people were unbelievers. It shows their kufr, that they were unbelievers, those who denied pre-decree al-Qadr, because of the fact that they did not believe in Allah's pre-ordainment and his decree. And then Ibn Umar, he did not make this statement from his own opinion. He was not speaking from himself when he said this tremendous statement. Rather, he mentioned its proof from the sunnah of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So everyone who says a saying in Islam, he must mention the proof for that saying from the book of Allah or from the sunnah of his Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if he does not have a proof for it, then it is rejected upon him. Which is why Ibn Umar, when he mentioned this saying and this answer, then he mentioned its proof from the sunnah of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Haddathani Abi, my father narrated to me, meaning his father Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So then he quotes a hadith from his father Umar, and it is the famous hadith of Jibreel, which Ibn Umar quoted as evidence. He said,
قال بينما نحن جلوس عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد سواد الشعر أو شديد سواد الشعر شديد بياض الثياب لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد فجلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه.
So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, one day whilst we were sitting in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a man who had very black hair and very white clothes came to us, no trace of travelling could be seen upon him, and yet none of us knew him. So he sat down with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and put his knees with his knees. The Shaykh said, meaning he rested his knees against the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, facing him, in the manner of sitting of a student with the teacher. وَوَضَعَ يَدَيْهِ عَلَى فَخِذَيْهِ, and he placed his two hands upon his thighs. Shaykh said, meaning out of good manners, along with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ,
and he said, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam.
قال الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا.
فقال صدقت.
قال فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه.
So he replied, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Al-Islam is that you bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and that you correctly establish the prayer, and that you pay the zakat, and that you fast Ramadan, and that you make hajj to the house, to the Kaaba, if you are able to do so. He said, Jibreel said, that is, you have spoken the truth. Umar said, so we were amazed at him, asking him and then telling him that he had spoken the truth. The Shaykh said, because it is the usual case that when somebody asks a question, he does not have knowledge of the answer. So when he said, Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth, this was a proof that he already knew the answer. Then he said,
أخبرني عن الإيمان. قال الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره.
قال صدقت. Then he said, then tell me about al-Iman, true faith. He said, al-Iman, true faith, is that you truly believe in Allah and in His angels and in His books and in His messengers and in the last day, and that you truly believe in pre-decree, the good of it and the bad of it. He said, you have spoken the truth.
ثم قال أخبرني عن الإحسان.
قال الإحسان أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك.
قال صدقت.
He said, then tell me about Ihsan, perfection of worship. He said, Ihsan, perfection of worship, is that you worship Allah as if you were seeing Him, and even though you do not see Him, yet certainly He sees you. He said, you have spoken the truth.
فأخبرني عن الساعة.
Then tell me about the last hour. The Shaykh said, meaning when the final hour will be. To which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said,
مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one who is being asked the question does not know any better about it than the one who is asking. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, I do not know, and nor do you know, when the last hour will be, because this is something in the knowledge of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, that is particular to Him, particular to Allah's knowledge. He has not told it to anyone, or it is not known to anyone. Neither any angel drawn close, nor any prophet sent, not even the best of the angels, who was Jibreel, nor the best of the creation, who was Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها. He said, then tell me about its signs. The Shaykh said, meaning the signs of the coming of the last hour, which will come about when the coming of the last hour is close. قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. قال ثم خرج الرجل ولبثنا مليا ثم قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم اطلبوا السائل فخرجوا يطلبونه فلم يجدوه قال هذا جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. So he said, regarding the question about the signs of the hour, that the slave woman will give birth to her mistress, and that you will see the barefoot, naked and destitute people, the shepherds of sheep competing in building high buildings. He said, then that man went away, and we remained for a while. Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, seek out the questioner. So they went out seeking for him, but they could not find him. So he said, this was Jibreel. He came to teach you your religion. The Shaykh said, so he, Jibreel, took human form, and he came in order to teach the companions their religion by means of questions and answers between himself and Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whilst they were listening. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so the witness from this hadith, I mean the witness for what Ibn Umar was saying, is his saying, أخبرني عن الإيمان, the question of Jibreel, then tell me about true faith. And in the response he mentioned at the end of it, in the answer to what is Iman, what is true faith, وأن تؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره, that you truly believe in pre-decree, the good of it and the bad of it. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned 6 pillars for Iman, and he mentioned 5 pillars for Islam, and he mentioned 1 pillar for Ihsan, perfection of worship. So the arkan, the pillars of Iman, are firstly al-Imanu billah, having true Iman, true faith in Allah, which is to have full and certain belief in the unity of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and in His sole right to all worship. He alone, with no partner or sharer being attributed to Him. And this covers all of the 3 types of Tawheed, that you truly believe in Tawheed of Allah's Lordship, and Tawheed of Allah's right to worship, His sole right to worship, and that you truly believe in Allah's names and attributes. So whoever disbelieves in a single type of these 3 types, then he will not be a mu'min, he will not be a true believer in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And believing in pre-decree enters into this, means enters even into belief in Allah.
Because belief in Allah's pre-decree is a part of belief in His Lordship, Rububiyyah. Because pre-decree is from Allah's actions, the actions of Allah, the perfect and most high. So belief in pre-decree enters into Tawheed of Lordship. However, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned it on its own to emphasize it. And he said, "Wa malaikatihi," and that you have true faith in Allah's angels, the Shaykh said, meaning that you believe that to Allah belongs angels, which Allah the Perfect and Most High created. He created them from light, and He created them to worship Him. يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st surah, ayah 20. That the angels, with the explanation, the angels glorify Allah throughout the night and the day. They never slacken. Sheikh said, so the angels carry out the commands of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, within His kingdom. And every different type of angel has a particular role, a particular duty in this creation, which Allah the Most High has commanded him with. So there are some angels entrusted with carrying the revelation, and that is Jibreel, alayhi salatu wassalam. And there are angels entrusted with bringing down the raindrops and with bringing out the crops, and that is Mika'il. And there is an angel entrusted with blowing into the sur, the horn, for the last hour, and that is Israfil. And there are angels entrusted with taking care of the embryos in the wombs of the mothers. And that is the angel who comes to the embryo in the belly, in the womb of his mother, when 4 months have been completed for it. And then the angel blows the spirit into it. And then he is commanded with 4 things. The angel is commanded to write down the provision for that embryo, that person who is going to grow, to write down his provision and his lifespan and his actions, and whether he will be shaqiyun aw sa'id, whether he will be one of the wretched inhabitants of the hellfire or one of the people of bliss, the inhabitants of paradise. And there are some angels whose duty it is to carefully preserve and to record the deeds of the descendants of Adam, the good deeds and the bad deeds. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ Surah Al-Infitar, the 82nd surah, ayahs 10 to 12, with the explanation, and there are angels watching over you who are noble scribes. They know all of your deeds. And there are some angels whose duty it is to guard and look after the children of Adam from any harmful things. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ Surah Al-Ra'ad, the 13th surah, ayah 11, with the explanation, for each person, Allah has appointed angels in front of him and behind him, guarding him by the command of Allah. The Shaykh said, to the rest of the actions of the angels, which are known to none but Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So truly believing in the angels is a part of Iman in Al-Ghaib, is a part of Iman in the hidden and the unseen. Because we do not see the angels. However, Allah has informed us about them. And His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, informed us about them, so therefore we believe in them. And whoever does not truly believe in the angels, or doesn't believe in some of them, then he is a kafir, he is an unbeliever in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَكُتُبِهِ And he believes truly in Allah's books. The Shaykh said, that means the books which Allah sent down, Allah the Most High sent down by revelation to his messengers, such as the Tawrat, and the Injil, and the Qur'an, and the Zabur, and the Suhuf, the pages of Ibrahim, to the rest of the books which Allah sent down upon his messengers, by means of Jibreel, alayhi salatu wassalam. And these books contain the commands of Allah the Perfect and Most High, and his prohibitions, and they contain whatever will benefit and rectify mankind. So whoever does not believe in the books, from the very first of them to the last of them, whoever does not believe in all of them, then he is a kafir, he is an unbeliever. قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل علينا وما أنزل على إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى والنبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون سورة البقرة The second surah, ayah 136. With the explanation, say, we truly believe in Allah, and in everything which he sent down to us, and in everything which he sent to Ibrahim, and Ismail, and Ishaq, and Ya'qub, and the 12 sons of Ya'qub, and whatever Musa and Isa were given, and whatever the prophets were given from their Lord, we do not make any distinction in believing between them. And we are Muslims who submit to Allah. The Shaykh said, so it is essential that a person has iman in all of the books. So whoever does not believe in the revealed books at all, and they are the Duhriya, those who do not believe in any of the revealed books, they are the Duhriya. Those people who say we just live and die and nothing destroys us except time. And the pure idolaters, or the idolaters, al-Wathaniyun, just the idol worshippers, then they are the greatest unbelievers amongst the creation. And whoever believes in some of the revealed books and disbelieves in others, such as the Jews and the Christians, then they are kuffar, they are unbelievers also. And true faith, Iman, is that you believe in all of the books, from the first of them to the last of them. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 85. With the explanation, is it that you believe in some of the books? Or rather, is it that you believe in some of the book and you disbelieve in some? Then what is the punishment of those who do that from you except disgrace in the life of this world? The Shaykh said, So whoever disbelieves in a single book from the books sent down by Allah, then he is an unbeliever in all of them. And he believes in wa rusulihi, he truly believes in Allah's messengers. The Shaykh said, And likewise, it's obligatory to have iman in all of the messengers, from the first of them to the last of them, those whom Allah has named and those whom He has not named. We believe in all of the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So whoever believes in some of them and disbelieves in others, then he is a kafir, he is an unbeliever in all of them, just like the Jews and the Christians. So the Shaykh's bringing an important point here, which you should not forget, that the Jews and Christians are disbelievers in all of the prophets, not just in some of them. Because just by disbelieving in some of them, or one of them, that makes them disbelievers in all of the prophets. And the evidence that some of the sheikhs use for this is the ayah, كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ That the people of Nuh have rejected all of the messengers. Even though they rejected only Nuh alayhi salam, that he was the prophet of their time, he was the one they rejected. Yet Allah described that as being, they disbelieved in all of the messengers. So disbelieving in one, as the Shaykh said, is disbelieving in all of them. So the Jews and Christians disbelieve in all of the prophets. And he said, as is the situation of the Jews and the Christians who disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Jews disbelieve in Isa and in Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, and likewise, whoever does not believe at all in the messengers, like the idol worshippers, and like those who say just time destroys us, and like the atheists, then they are the people who are the ones drowned the most deep. They are the ones drowned deepest in unbelief. And they are the ones who are furthest away, removed in their unbelief. And Allah's refuge is sought. And he said, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And he truly believes in the last day, meaning the day of resurrection. So it is obligatory to have iman in the last day, which is whatever happens after death, from that which Allah the Most High has informed about, and which His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed about, with regard to the condition of the barzakh, the period between death and the resurrection, the barrier in between death and the coming of the resurrection, and then the resurrection and the raising up and the standing from the graves and the standing in the place of gathering al-mahshar, and then the reckoning and then the weighing on the scales, and then the handing over of the scrolls of deeds which the believer will take in his right hand and other than the believer will take in his left hand. And then the passing over the Sirat, the extremely narrow bridge over hellfire. And then the residing in paradise or in the hellfire. All of this is covered by iman in the last day. So whoever does not believe in the last day, then even if he believes in Allah and the angels and his books and his messengers, if he denies the resurrection and the last day, then he will be an unbeliever in all of these. وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ. And you truly believe in pre-decree. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, this is the witness for what is being discussed here, which is that you truly believe in Allah's preordainment and in His pre-decree, and that nothing whatsoever happens in this creation except that Allah has always known it, and that Allah wrote it down in the preserved tablet, and that He willed it and wanted it to happen, He the Perfect and Most High. And then He created it and produced it. So Sheikh briefly mentions there the four levels that are necessary for pre-decree al-Qadr. And then he mentions them in detail. He says, so iman, and when a person wants to know what is upon him to believe with regard to pre-decree al-Qadr, then it's upon him that he should consider these, they should learn and be aware of and understand these four levels, and that is what will suffice him in that regard. The Sheikh said, so iman in Allah's ordainment and pre-decree covers four levels, four things that you have to have. The first level is to truly believe in that Allah always knew everything. So the first level is al-ilm, the knowledge that Allah always knew everything, and that Allah the Perfect and Most High knew everything that was and will be, and He knew everything that will not be. It will not happen. If it did happen, how it would be. All of that is known by Allah the Perfect. Nothing whatsoever is hidden from Him. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Surah Al-Mujadila, the 58th Surah, Ayah 7, with the explanation, have you not seen that Allah knows whatever is in the heavens and in the earth? وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Surah Al-Talaq, the 65th Surah, Ayah 12, with the explanation, and Allah has encompassed everything with His knowledge. The Shaykh said, so Allah, the Majestic and Most High, nothing whatsoever in the earth nor in the heavens is hidden from Him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 5. With the explanation, nothing whatsoever in the earth nor in the heavens is hidden to Allah. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th surah, ayah 3. With the explanation, Allah is the first and the last, the uppermost and the innermost. And He is the one who has full knowledge of everything. Shaykh said, so Iman, that Allah is the one who knows everything, is essential. And whoever denies the knowledge of Allah is a kafir, is an unbeliever. Then the second level of what we need to know about pre-decree is that Allah is al-kitabah, writing down, that Allah wrote in the preserved tablet everything. So whoever denies this writing down in the preserved tablet, then he will not be a true believer in Allah the Perfect and Most High, and he will not be a believer in pre-decree. And the third level of pre-decree is iradatullah wa mashi'atuhu lil ashya, that Allah willed and desired everything to occur. And the fourth level is al-khalq, the creation, that Allah created all the things that occur. So everything in existence is from the creation of Allah the Perfect. Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'malun. Surah As-Saffat, the 37th surah, ayah 96. With the explanation, and Allah created you and whatever you do, created you and all of your actions. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakil. Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, ayah 62. With the explanation, Allah is the creator of everything, and He is a guardian over everything, a watcher and guardian over everything. Sheikh said, so everything in this creation that exists is from the creation of Allah the Perfect and Most High, from good and bad, from unbelief and iman, from obedience and disobedience, from richness and poverty, from illness and health, from life and death, and so on. I mean, all of that is created by Allah. However, ash-shar, evil, with respect to Allah, is not evil, because Allah created it for a wise purpose, and He put it in its due place. So it, with respect to Allah, is not evil. Rather, it is evil only with respect to the one it comes upon, and the one who has it decreed upon him, because of his sins and his disobedience. So something will be evil with respect to the one it comes upon, but with respect to Allah, with regard to Allah, it is good, because it is justice from Allah, He the Perfect. So in summary, everything that happens in this creation is just, is adl, is just, and is a mercy, and is good from Allah the Perfect and Most High, even if it contains harm and punishment and evil with respect to the one it comes upon. So these are the levels of belief in pre-decree al-Qadr. And the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, they believe in all of these levels. Then he says, as for the Qadariyya, those who deny pre-decree, which is what this chapter is about, those who deny pre-decree, he said, then they are of two categories, and Allah's refuge is sought. The first category is the older deniers of pre-decree, the older Qadariyya, who are called the extreme Qadariyya, because they deny the knowledge of Allah, and they say, Allah does not know the things before they actually happen. Allah only knows things when they have happened and after they have occurred. So they deny Allah's eternal knowledge of everything before the things happen. So because of this, they are unbelievers and have left the religion, because they deny the knowledge of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And whoever denies the knowledge of Allah, then he is a kafir, an unbeliever. And the second category of Qadariyya are those who affirm the knowledge, the eternal knowledge of Allah. They affirm that Allah has always known the things. However, they say, but Allah did not decree, Allah did not pre-decree the things that happen. Rather, they say, the people, they themselves do whatever happens. They are independently the ones who produce whatever happens. And they create their own actions. So each person is a creator of his own actions. The Shaykh said, so these Qadariyya, these later Qadariyya, they are lesser in seriousness than the later ones. However, they are still dhullal. They are astray, deviated, because they deny the creation of Allah. And they are the later comers from the Qadariyya. Then the Shaykh said, so this is why they are called the Magians of this Ummah. The hadith that we had at the start, that's authentic, the hadith of Abu Dawud, that the Qadariyya are the Majus, the Magians of this Ummah. Why are they called that? Because the Magians, they say, everything in creation has two creators, a creator of what is good and a creator of what is evil. So the Shaykh here is explained that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Qadariyya are the Magians of this Ummah, which is because the Magians, they say there is good and there's bad, and there's a creator for whatever is good and there's a separate creator for whatever is bad. And the Qadariyya say basically the same thing. Their saying amounts to the same thing. They say whatever is good in existence, Allah has created it, and whatever is bad, then it's the creation of each individual person. Then the Shaykh said, and the Mu'tazila, they say, Allah did not create the actions of the servants. Rather, the servants themselves create their own actions. So therefore, they affirm a large number of creators. I mean, every person, according to the Mu'tazila, is a creator of his own actions. So they don't just affirm one creator or two creators as the Qadariyya. They affirm as many creators as there are people. And therefore they are worse than the Magians even, because the Magians only affirm two creators, whereas these, the Mu'tazila, they affirm many, many creators. Then the Shaykh finalizes by saying, he says, so it is not permissible for the Muslim. So he's now established what is correct with regard to pre-decree, then what the Qadariyya, the deviant Qadariyya, what they say, and that it's wrong. Then he says, he mentions the point about entering too deeply into the details of pre-decree and how it works. This is not correct. He says, and it's not permissible for the Muslim to enter into the fine details of how pre-decree operates, and to open up for himself doubts and misconceptions. It's sufficient for him to believe in pre-decree just as Allah the Perfect and Most High has informed about it, and as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed about it. That he believes in Allah's pre-decree just as Allah the Perfect and Most High has informed and his Messenger have informed. That he believes that Allah ordained all the affairs and decreed them. And he doesn't enter into fine details and starting asking questions. Why this and why that? Because he will never reach any conclusion in that regard. Because pre-decree is, as Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, Al-Qadaru Sirrullah. Pre-decree is Allah's secret. Meaning it's a secret which only Allah the Perfect and Most High knows. So there's no point going into how this and why that and what if this and if that, then with regard to pre-decree, you do not do that. The Shaykh said, rather what is obligatory upon us is that we believe in pre-decree, and we don't go into the details of how it operates. Rather, it's sufficient to believe in what occurs in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what's upon us is to act in obedience to Allah and to obey His commands and avoid His prohibitions. That is the duty He has put upon us. He has not put upon us a duty of researching into how His pre-decree operates, nor that we should abandon actions and just say whatever is pre-decreed upon us will happen to us. This is why when the Messenger, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed that every person will have has already got his place confirmed in paradise or in the fire, then the companion said, O Messenger of Allah, shall we not then just rely upon what is written for us? So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'malu fakullum muyassarun lah, fakullum muyassarun lima khuliqa lah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, act, because every person will have that which he was created for made easy for him. Then he recited the saying of Allah the Most High, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّكَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. Surah Al-Layl, the 92nd surah, ayahs 5 to 10. With the explanation, so whoever gives in charity and fears and keeps his duty to his Lord and truly believes in the good, then we will make the easy path easy for him, the path to paradise easy for him. And as for the one who is miserly and thinks himself self-sufficient and rejects the good, then we will make the path to evil easy for him. Then the Shaykh finalizes with his final paragraph, which is, so what is demanded from you, what is required from you, is to act and to have iman, to have true faith in Allah's ordainment and pre-decree. And you are able to act, and it's possible for you to do actions. So it is upon you, therefore, to do actions of good and to leave actions of evil, and to repent for any sins you have committed, and to do many good deeds. This is what is required from you. But as for going deeply into this matter, researching into this matter, which is known only to Allah the Perfect and Most High, and entering into arguments about pre-decree, then this will only lead to misguidance and can lead you into destruction, because Allah the Perfect and Most High has not required from us these things. Rather, what He has done is commanded us with action. That is what Allah has commanded us to do. He has commanded us to truly believe, have iman, and He's commanded us with action. That is what is required from the Muslim. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. We'll leave the rest of the chapter till next time, inshaAllah. The circles now, the time seems to keep changing, but now it's supposed to be, the circle time now is supposed to be 7 o'clock, inshallah. Just a question, with regard to the question, what is meant by the slave girl giving birth to her master or her mistress, is this narration sahih, and where can it be found? And with regard to each raindrop being brought down by an angel, and with regard to the slave girl giving birth to her mistress or her master, then this is part of the hadith that's authentic, reported by Muslim in his Sahih, is part of the Hadith, the same Hadith, that is authentic, part of the Hadith of Jibreel. And with regard to the meaning of it, then the people of knowledge differ about what it means. One saying is that it refers to the conquests of Islam. It shows that Islam will greatly conquer the lands, and a lot of people will become slaves, will be enslaved by the spread of Islam. So the women will be enslaved, and then they will be taken by the Muslim men, and some of them, some of these women will then give birth to children. And the children will be free. The boy, it will be a free man, the son of his father. So he will be free, whereas his mother is a slave. So he'll be like a master, because he's free, and his mother is a slave. Or some of the people of knowledge explain it a different way, and they say it's a sign of the last hour, in that the children will behave with disobedience towards their parents, and behave like they are the master and the parents are just slaves. Wallahu a'lam. And with regard to the drops being brought down by the angel, then that is a saying of some of the Salaf. Wallahu a'lam. And just as a reminder, that please, if you are present during the Dars, then it's a reminder here that's written down, please can we remind anyone who's present not to talk during the Dars. We apologise if the lesson is quite long, but please try your best to adopt the manners of sitting in circles, that we do not talk in the lessons. If we're here for the purpose of listening to the lesson, then it's upon us to listen and not to be talking away and disturbing other people. Wallahu a'lam.